Well, I'm grateful for you all. Thank you. Thank you so much for always blessing us. And thank you for that. I want to thank also Candy's going to be preaching next Sunday. She would love it if you would invite the people at her work, her family, all the people that she's not telling. Candy, your boss isn't here, is he? Bob doesn't know about this, does he? There's no way that that's going to come out to anyone, is it? It's possible I've gone over the top. Anyways, Candy's preaching next Sunday. The Sunday after that, Nicole will be preaching. We are deeply, richly, wonderfully blessed in this congregation to have people who are anointed and empowered to be able to share God's word. And really, every single time, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. Lorraine's done it. Rick's done it. Teddy, all of you, when they come up here and they're just anointed by God and able to share God's spirit and God's word and God's love and God's grace. And it's a powerful moment in our worship. And just, I'm grateful for all of that. I'm grateful for that. I want to share with you a story. I know some of you get tired of this story, but I love this story. I love this story, okay? Because it's back. It's a story about when I was young and foolish, because before I became wise. All right. It's a song from when I was poor before I became rich. Okay. It's a story about when I was stupid before I became smart. See? That's good, isn't it? All right. So Diane and I, we had just moved down here. We're living in this duplex. Okay, and it's a nice duplex and all of that, but the backyard is fenced, and one of the posts for the gate isn't working, you know, because the post is all rotten out, and it needs to be replaced, all right? And again, we just got married. I have in my toolbox, I have a hammer and a shovel. That's it. That's all I got, all right? And again, you know, you're struggling, you're just married, you don't have any hardly any money, but I've got to get this post fixed because the gate, it's all a problem, and we have a dog, it could get out, so we have to take care of the post. So I said, I can do this. I go to Home Depot, I buy a post, I know what a post looks like, I can buy a post, and I get the post, and I come home with the post, all right? And now, and I have to get concrete because I got to put the post in concrete so that it's going to stay firm and stay solid and just going to be wonderful. And I'm going to be a great, great, great handyman, fix it, brand new husband. Look at me. Look at all the things I can do. And it's wonderful. Except for a post is 4 inches. My shovel's like, you know, huge. And I'm digging it down deep. So I end up with a hole like this. All right? Like 3 feet deep, because if 1 foot's good, then 3 feet has to be better. All right? So I dig this humongous hole, all right? And I'm like, okay, but now I got to mix the concrete up. But I don't have anything to mix the concrete up in. I don't have a bucket. I don't have a wagon. I don't have anything. What am I going to do? I have a hole. This is brilliant. So I get the hose hooked up. All right. Now, again, I don't have a nozzle. I just have the hose. So the water's on, it's on. That's it. Okay. I mean, you can bend it, but I also have, you know, that 40-pound bag of concrete. All right. And I'm thinking what I can do is I'll hold the concrete on this hip. All right. I'll put the shovel in this hand, and I'll hold the hose with my mouth. All right, so I'm putting water in the hose like this, then I'm trying to dump the concrete like that, and then I try to get the shovel to mix it all up. All right, and I'm so proud of myself, you know, because I'm thinking, what a genius, look at you. And then when I have too much water, put it over here, put the concrete in, get the shovel going. I am just like, look at you. Tim Allen has nothing on you. Home Improvement guy, you are just making a wonderful thing, and I get it all filled up. I'm just so proud of myself. Look at what I did. And then I look over there, and there's the post. I now have a nice hole of concrete in the backyard. It was just like, ugh. Sometimes we can forget our priorities about what it is that we're supposed to be focused on, what it is we're trying to do. We get so caught up in all these other things that we forget. Like I forgot the post. It happens. And Jesus is sharing this parable with us. Now remember, it's a parable. It's not history. It's a parable. And the problem isn't that the guy is rich. That's not the problem. The problem is he's selfish. That's the problem. Y'all remember, y'all had Christmas in July. Well, remember A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens' book? Say yes. Thank you. All right. Well, I refer books, and I'm thinking you got to know. Remember the opening of the book, okay? And there's, you know, Jacob Marley, okay? But you have to understand, for the story to have any impact, Jacob Marley is dead. That's the way he talks about her, okay? But Jacob Marley comes to Scrooge, all right? Because he's going to warn Ebenezer, hey, you're going to get visited by three ghosts. You know, he's trying to help his friend out. And, of course, Scrooge is not very receptive to this. And he's trying to make Jacob feel better about his life. And he tells Jacob, you were always a good man of business. Remember that part? Remember how that opens up? And Jacob goes, business? Business? Mankind was my business. Charity was my barrenness. Forbearance, mercy, benevolence was my business. The activity of my trading house was a small drop compared to the comprehensive ocean of my business. Trying to help Ebenezer understand, to widen his horizon, to understand that there's a whole lot more going on than what you can accumulate, what you can have. That's why Jesus is telling us the parable. Don't worry about your possessions. Time and time again, when you read the New Testament, Jesus talks more about how we use our possessions and our riches than he does love or forgiveness or God's kingdom. How you use your possessions. Do not let your possessions possess you. Keep focused, you know, keep focused. And the children's sermon. Remember the children's sermon? I pull out the Monopoly money and they're all laughing at me. Ha, 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 that's not real money. That's not real money. Well, guess what? The money we think is real isn't real either. All right? How much time can you buy? How much time can you buy? You can buy a watch, can buy a really fancy watch. You can't buy any time. Can you buy a home? No, you can't buy a home. You can buy a house. You can buy houses. You can't buy a home. What about love? Can you buy love? You can buy a companion for a night, but you can't. I should say it the script. The idea is to keep focused on what is real. We have finally banned greyhound racing. You know, there's a track down the street. We have finally banned greyhound racing, but some of you may remember how greyhound racing works. You have the greyhounds, and they chase after a mechanical rabbit that's going around a track, and the dogs would race after. It's kind of like a horse race, and people would come, and they would bet on the different dogs, and you get prizes for first or second or third or things like that. And I know I told you back in the day, because Lorraine didn't believe me. I was visiting a family, and they had adopted one of those greyhounds as a pet. You know, and the little youngest one, just barely a toddler, is playing with the tail, and the 3-year-old's using the dog's stomach as a pillow and just laying there, and the dog just seems so happy. And I struck up a conversation with the dog, and I'm starting to talk with the dog, and I asked him, you know, about his career, and you know, Well, because I was curious, you know, I wanted to know, and you don't know unless you ask questions, and I'm asking him a question, and I said, are you still racing part-time? And he said, no, I'm not racing anymore. And I said, well, don't you miss the glitter and the excitement and the people cheering and all of that? And he goes, no. I said, well, what happened to you? What, did you get too old? And he goes, no, I've still got some race left in me. I'm good. I go, well, did you just not win? Were you a loser all the time? And, no. He says, I won millions of dollars from my own. Well, was it bad treatment? Did they treat you bad? He goes, oh, no. He says, they treat you like royalty when you're racing. I go, well, what happened? You get crippled up? You got injured? What happened? And he goes, no. I go, well, why'd you quit? Why aren't you racing anymore? And he says, I quit. And I said, why? Why'd you quit? And he said, I discovered that what I was chasing was not really a rabbit. And I quit. He looked at me and said, all that running, and what I was running after wasn't even real. Jesus cautions us about losing sight about what is real. The man in the parable thinks only of himself. He congratulates himself. He talks to himself. It's just him all the time. He's not a fool because he wants a nice retirement. He's a fool because he thinks a nice retirement is going to fill his life. You can have full barns and an empty soul. Sometimes, you know, we're not careful, we can get on that train called more. And we think it's going to take us to that train station satisfaction. And we keep thinking that if we can just get to this point, if I can just get to this point. Some of you remember what that was like. Don't you remember? I can't wait till I'm 16 and I have my driver's license. And I'm going to get my own car. And I can just put on whatever radio station I want to watch. Listen to. Or I can't wait till I'm 18 and I can get out of the house and go to college and live on my own and then have all that stuff. I can't wait till I graduate from college and get my degree and I can have my job. I can't wait till I get my job. I can't wait until I get married and have kids. I can't wait till the kids leave. I can't wait. Always something more. And we think it's going to get us to satisfaction. But as the Rolling Stones say, we can't get no satisfaction. Not that way. It will never, ever, ever be enough. Cushion had that book out. When all you've ever wanted is not enough. You read the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything you possibly could think you would desire and want. And he says it's nothing but vanities. It blows away. Kansas, it's all just dust in the wind. It doesn't last. It's not real. Jesus is cautioning us to focus on what is real. To understand what is truly important. Johnny talks about when he was growing up, he had a grandmother that lived at the house with him for a while. And she was the, you know, wonderful grandmother, you know, soft in all the right places, you know, and just wonderfully thoughtful. When the parents were gone, she'd let the kids stay up as late as they wanted, you know, made these wonderful red velvet cakes for your birthday. Just beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, just fun. Just always fun-loving. Fun. All about that all the time. However, and she played games. She played games all the time. But she was extremely competitive in those games. You go to the family picnic and have a softball game, she's running that base path like Larry Zonka. You better not get in her way. All right? She'll run you over and mow you down. Right? She wasn't mean, she wasn't mad, but she was there to win. You're playing Candyland or Chinese checkers, it doesn't matter. All right, she's taking you down. Again, not mean, not mad, and of all the things, she was master of the board when it came to Monopoly. You know that game, you go around the board, you accumulate properties, and you get houses and hotels, and you get to charge people rent and all of those wonderful things. And she would just take people to the cleaners on it. All right, you know, General Patton, Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, they had nothing on Sweet Grandma. All right, and she could take you down easily. Easily. And every time she won, every single time. And then you tell, it's okay, it's okay. One of these days you'll learn how to play the game. You know, and they try and they try and they try and just, but one day, Johnny was winning. Johnny had those yellow properties. You know the yellow properties right before you have to go to jail, you know, right there? And he had hotels on those yellow properties. And Grandma had been in a streak of bad luck. She'd just gotten out of jail. You know how it is when your grandma gets out of jail, all right? So Grandma just got out of jail. She didn't have any money. And she rolled doubles, which meant she landed, boom, right there on Atlantic Avenue. With a hotel. She was done for. She lost. And Johnny, just so proud of himself, looking at his hotels and looking at Grandma with no money and him with all his money and just thinking, I won, you know, doing the little victory dance and stuff like that. And then Grandma says, and now for the most important lesson of all. It all goes back in the box. But I want to leave the board up. I want to be able to show the other family members. I won. Don't you see? Can't we leave it up? It all goes back in the box. Now, we can laugh because it's a game of Monopoly, and we know that isn't lasting. But sometimes the same thing happens in our game of life. We get so wrapped up sometimes thinking that this and that and this. And Jesus is trying to warn us, don't allow possessions to possess you. Keep focused on what is real, what is important. Keep out of yourself. Again, the problem was the man wasn't immoral. He wasn't unethical. He didn't do anything wrong to get rich, and there's nothing wrong with being rich. The problem was he was selfish. He thought that if he had a full enough barn, that somehow his life would be full. Jesus gives us this warning to tell us that. The choir, unbeknownst to me, sang that song today. To be grateful. To be grateful. Now, I don't have this kind of money, but let's imagine that I do for a while. Let's say I have $1 million and I'm willing to give it to you. And I say, Bob, I'm going to give you $1 million. But for $1 million, you don't ever, ever get to remember the first time your children called you daddy. You don't ever get to remember the first time they came to you running with open arms. Or Brian. All right, or I could pick on Ellen. You're gonna take that deal? For $1 million, you're gonna wipe out the first time you can remember the first time? Why? Because we're able to treasure that which is most important. And to be grateful for the one who's been so generous to us, so gracious to us, that he gave us his son, who gave us this lesson. Keep focused on what is real. Remember your priorities. Amen.